a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant, George. The Astros are back in action tonight as they take on the New York Yankees in a three-game set. And, I don't know, Paul. I thought some of your comments here on the rundown today were interesting. I feel like you have a message to deliver today. You kind of did this yesterday with about the Mariners, where you had to tell, kind of set Astros fans straight a little bit about the Mariners and the fact that since the Astros swept them in that series a couple years ago, the Mariners have really dominated the Houston Astros. And while the Astros have big time scoreboard over the New York Yankees, they don't right now. So I feel like I thought that was intriguing what you had on here today.
I'm telling you now, Astros fans, you are suspended indefinitely from
suspension.
Being condescending, patronizing, or a bully towards the Yankees and Yankees fans indefinitely, because we do not have the high ground right now. We don't.
No, they do not.
They have beaten the Yankees in every series that has mattered. But to open up the year, the Yankees swept you in your own house, and we've been hearing all sorts of excuses made for the Astros and who they don't have right now. But the Yankees are tied for the most wins in the American League, despite slow starts from all bats not named Juan Soto. Aaron Judge is hitting just .220 right now. They haven't even had their best pitcher, Gerrit Cole, pitch yet, and they're in baseball's toughest division.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, again, they got 23 wins. They are basically tied for first place with the Baltimore Orioles. They've played two more games than Baltimore and have lost two more games than Baltimore, so technically they're in second. They're playing well in close games. I love talking trash about the Yankees. I can't stand them. Have hated them longer than any sports team I've ever hated.
Mm-hmm.
They have always been my least favorite team from my time growing up in Boston. We have to indefinitely suspend ourselves, though, from talking trash, because guess what? We are just like them if we're bringing up 2015, 2017, 2019, 2022.
Yeah, because that's all you have at this very moment is past scoreboard. But it just doesn't matter right now, because you're right. It's not fun. We can't talk trash. There's nothing to talk trash about.
It sucks.
The past doesn't matter. Like when they started the season, that's how we opened this show. Was on opening day was our favorite moments from all the past Yankees Astros playoff series and regular season moments, all the walkouts that they had, Altuve and Correa and Bregman and all these guys and the no hitter, all that stuff, just it doesn't matter, because right now what matters is the fact that you are not good,
right?
And they are.
Specifically, they're really good at pitching this year again without Gerrit Cole. Joe, every starter in every start has gone at least four innings for the Yankees.
It's impressive.
Every single starter. Their ERA as a team, I believe, is third in all of baseball. You look at where they're at, and they're doing it without the kind of offensive production that we've been dying for from the Houston Astros. I mean, they're getting on base. They're drawing lots of walks, so that at the very least is nice, but they're winning close games. Their closer is taking care of business. Clay Holmes has 11 saves. That's the most in baseball. And the pitching for them, there have been no problems despite missing their best pitcher in Gerrit Cole.
And they have struggles too. It just doesn't matter for them.
It doesn't. And I think the big problem now, coming right after a series where you played against another team that pitches well, the Mariners, and struggled to score runs without them helping you out, like Friday, where they had those meltdowns, that's the only reason you won one of these games. This is another team that is going to make you work for it. And on top of that, they're going to make your pitching work for it. And that does get me a little nervous about these next couple of games. Just the fact that the Yankees take a ton of pitches.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we have seen from the Astros this year, whether it's the guys in the bullpen struggling or it's the starters struggling, it's a couple of walks. And sometimes these guys seem to just completely melt down. The Yankees are very good at exposing two things that the Houston Astros are not doing well right now.
No, but now one of the benefits of this series, or one of the positives of this series, is that you at least have Justin Verlander and Ronald Blanco on the mound for two of the three games. So now while Luis Gil, who I'm not super familiar with, is having a pretty solid season, you know, in two of his last three starts, he's given up zero earned runs. He gave up five against Milwaukee on the 26th of last month, but he's been pretty solid this year. We have Justin Verlander pitching, and then you have Ronald Blanco pitching the third game in the series. So at least in that aspect of this, like, you do have two of the guys that you would want on the mound. So you are, in theory, in position to win this series. You're facing Marcus Stroman in that third game, who is, we've all seen Marcus Stroman through his time in Major League Baseball. He's one of those guys that has big-time peaks and big-time valleys, where he is, you never know who you're going to get. But in this series, this is, you know, I mentioned yesterday, where, like, you have all these games against kind of these mediocre baseball teams within the Angels, the A's, and the Tigers. Teams that, even though you are struggling, you should easily be better than. The Yankees are not one of those teams because of what they've done this offseason. They added one piece that is, honestly, Juan Soto really Soto's is awesome. Just, he probably is the second best player in baseball. I really don't know if it's even a close
Who's number one?
Oh, it's definitely Shohei.
Okay, still Shohei.
I mean, he's hit four home runs the last
Disgraced
two days.
Gambler Shohei Ohtani.
He doesn't need a UCL. He's hitting tanks left and right for the Dodgers.
Oh, doesn't even pitch anymore, and, I mean, doesn't even have a bookie anymore. So, I mean, how good is he? But, okay, fair. Shohei's one. Soto's two. I'm not arguing that. Arguing that at all.
Yeah, it's just, I don't. Because what he's meant so much to them, because he really covered up a lot of the flaws that the Yankees would have in their roster.
Take a look at their lineup after Juan Soto. Basically, everyone's got a around average or below average OPS, which is about 750. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the whole lineup. I mean, Judge is a little bit north of that. They're getting home runs out of Judge, and they're getting home runs out of Stanton, but they are, for the most part, struggling at the plate. The one thing, though, that they've been very good at is pitches per plate appearance, which they lead the majors in, and they do top the American League in on-base percentage and walks.
So we'll see. I don't know. How do you feel about the series? I don't feel great.
I don't feel good at all. You should not feel good about any series until this team was within striking distance of 500. You shouldn't. And it's unfortunate that, once again, the Astros are in the midst of a pretty brutal stretch. You're going up against another first-place team, essentially, right? I mean, You went up against the Guardians. You took 2 of 3. You could have taken 2 of 3 from the Mariners, but Josh Hader and Brian Abreu didn't help you out on Sunday. And now here you are going up against another team, and there's real danger that you come out of this series 11 games below 500.
Yeah, you need to win this series. If there's any hope for this season, you need to win this series.
Right.
And look, if you have easier opponents coming up, it's another. You just keep digging.
Exactly.
Like, just keep digging a hole.
A slow dig.
That you're making it just so much more challenging that, like, I still, for some odd reason, believe that there is a really good run in this team. But the problem is that
Dana Brown.
I feel like Dana Brown every time I say it. I do. But you just keep digging the hole farther and farther and farther, and you can't even catch breaks. Like last night, the A's have a lead for most of the game versus the Rangers, but then Corey Seager gives the Rangers a lead late, and just it's becoming even more challenging to dig out of it. And that's why winning this series, it really does matter.
You can only focus on what you can do. There's a lot of things that are out of the Astros' control right now. But yeah, they're going to have to start stringing together a couple of victories. We're all saying the same thing. I mean, they don't need our advice. They know that they suck right now. It sucks, though, that a series against the Yankees that we traditionally have a lot of excitement for, like, no one likes the Yankees. No one. They were the ones who were complaining and whining the most about the sign-stealing scandal. And, I mean,
all their World Series are tainted.
The track record of what they've done against the Astros screams it wouldn't have mattered. But they're still complaining about it a little bit more quietly now. But right now, they're in a spot where, I mean, they can, I guess,
end your season,
snort at you, look at you, and be a little condescending, a little patronizing. Oh, maybe you should bring the trash cans back. They can actually do that right now. It's early. You can bring up history if you want, but if you bring up history, you will be them. You will be exactly them. Those bozos wearing their knockoff Timberlands that they buy at Walmart, wearing their jorts, wearing their Jorge Posada jersey that cost $50 when they got it, not even authentic brand. They've got their wife beater underneath. They've got a gold chain that they got at Spencer's for $26. And they've
it's more
got
expensive
their,
than I thought it was.
They've got their flat brim Yankees hat, Joe. I don't know what those go for at Lids, but that is the Yankee fan. Just an absolute dirtbag piece of crap. And that person can laugh at you right now because the Astros keep shooting themselves in the foot.
Part of the reason why...
And you can't clap back. You have nothing to clap back with except for history. And then again, makes you just like those absolute losers.
Yeah, part of the reason why I really want the Astros to win this series, not just because I like rooting for the Astros and I want them to do well, is I despise Yankees fans. Like they are exhausting. And I hate that they, at this very moment, have scoreboard on them, on the Astros this
for 2024,
season.
Yes. I mean, they
sucks.
Four game sweep at home. That's pretty, pretty vicious.
OG says Astros and Astros fans need this type of season to give them a slap of reality. OG, I don't know if you're an Astros fan, but I don't agree with that. I think the 100 lost seasons is plenty of reality.
Yeah, I don't know what the slap of reality is either.
Yeah. I mean, this is not reality. This is disaster ball. Is what's happening in front of the Astros. This is the worst. It's at the end of the season last year when people tried to talk about like windows closing. The argument was like, well, no, like they're talented enough to be a good baseball team, to be at least a 500 baseball team for the foreseeable future. This is not reality. This is not your World Series window is closing. This is you fell off the steepest cliff of all time, and it makes no logical sense at all. Like it makes no logical sense what has happened.
I mean, the bullpen just stinks and they can't hit with runners in scoring position. Being 1-9 in one run games is crazy.
It makes no sense.
That you could say, well, that's bad luck, but who's creating the bad luck?
Well, it's all
the crappy
saves.
Relievers, you know? Which of them do you trust the most? None of them?
Yeah, not great news here. Christian Javier, he's fine. And obviously he's on his way back. So I'll make sure I preface that. But if you're hoping or needed depth from JP France, that looks like it's not going to be coming for a long time. Chandler Rome just reported concerning news for a depleted Astros rotation. JP France has a shoulder injury that will keep him out a while, sources tell The Athletic. So
I'm okay with that.
Well, they talked about going to a six-man rotation, so I don't know if JP France was part of that conversation.
I don't think JP France was going to help out the Houston Astros.
No, I hope not.
I think we've had our fun little run with JP France. I think that's probably it.
I probably agree.
I wish him a speedy recovery for the Sugarland Space Cowboy.
Yeah. He's a space cowboy now.
I hope he was not part of their plan. But if he was going to be part of their plan at some point, it sounds like he will not.
Because right now they have a five-man rotation. You just add in Christian Javier, there's your six-man. Now you would want to replace Hunter Brown at some point, or Hunter Brown start to actually pitch better, not the moral victories he's had the last two starts. But
hey. Moral victories. That's what we're fighting for right now, Sean.
Hey, would you say yes to one win against the Yankees and one moral victory against the Yankees right now?
No.
Just to feel good about this team.
Lance McCullers, we talked about it yesterday. 10 to 12 pitch bullpen session. Be a quick bullpen session, you know, hoping you get a couple of pop outs or just first pitch outs. But hey. I mean, he could be a part of that, right?
I guess. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
when I saw that,
can someone help me with the math here? If he adds 12 pitches every week, he's back to 70 in like what, 6 weeks? Is that how slow we're rolling this with Lance McCullers? Is he gonna throw 22 pitches next week? 24 pitches next week? Like, is that the? And then the week after, he's gonna throw 36. Like, they're like, he threw 10 to 12 pitches. Great news. It did nothing for me.
Why couldn't they count? Why couldn't they count either? Like 10 and 12? Come on. That's...
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
it's
Am I doing the math for the Astros here?
Did you stop with how many fingers do I have?
Yeah.
And then he pitched two more. That's easy math to do. It's not like he pitched, you know, 50 to 55. Like, I can get how the line gets a little, like, was
yeah.
it 54? Was it 53? 50 to 55. This is 10 or 12. Like, this is, again, as many fingers as you have or two more.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Some people might have that many fingers. At least 11. Antonio Alfonseca, the former closer. He had 11 fingers.
He did?
Yes, he did.
Were there six on his throwing hand?
Yeah, I think it was.
What a freak. Yeah. No offense.
Hey, did he throw
shout
like,
out to you.
Crazy pitches or did you just
right,
throw
no,
like,
he didn't. No,
slider?
He did it.
Oh, just threw normal
he
pitches?
He was normal.
Oh, that's boring. Yeah, you think with six fingers, you could do
a
lot of
I
stuff.
I think they called it a six-finger fastball is what he threw.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a bit. I think it was like a little pinky finger.
What was his name?
I'm gonna. Oh, okay. So it was just like a
Antonio
little.
Tony Alfonseca.
Like a little stump.
Yeah, I think it was like a little stump.
Sorry for all the six-fingered folks out there.
I'm sure there's many of them.
We don't want to alienate our six-fingered community.
All right. Is there anything about the Astros that are making you feel optimistic? Maybe it is Lance McCullers. We'll get into that next year on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
What's making you feeling optimistic about the Astros? Is there anything? Is it Lance McCullers?
It's May?
That doesn't do it for me.
We're only a fifth of the way through May? A little bit past a fifth?
Yeah.
Closer to a fourth, but not quite.
I think they've lost the it's early standing. I don't know if we can use that one anymore. I know technically it's still early, but it doesn't feel early anymore.
I think if they were merely like 16 and 18, you could still do it's early. But the fact they're like 12 and 22, you kind of lose the it's early card with how bad they've been.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve hasn't had a chance with runners in scoring position. Well, he has. Actually, he's had a lot of chances. They haven't gone so well. But he hasn't been getting as many chances as some of the other guys. So that's only going to happen more, of course, because the bottom of the order is going to get on before Altuve, right? How about Jeremy Pena is doing well?
Jeremy Pena is doing well.
Kyle Tucker's doing well.
Yeah. Yep.
Ronel Blanco.
He's doing well.
Yep. Justin Verlander's pitching well.
True, and he does very well against the Yankees, specifically Aaron Judge.
Christian Javier is coming back soon.
Yeah.
Lance McCullers threw 10 to 12 pitches. It's better than 0 to 1 pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Which is where he was at before.
Good point.
0-1. I don't know if he threw one pitch or
and he
not.
Was on the mound.
I saw a mound. Video of him pitching a baseball.
Yes. On a mound.
I didn't count how many, though.
Well, I think they just lost count. They probably were just like talking to each other and just weren't paying attention.
Or did someone say 10 and someone else said 12?
That's probably what happened. It's like Kamari Lassiter's 40 time. No one really knows what it is. Some people are saying 4-5. Some people are saying 4-8. Like, it's like all over the place.
You were saying 4-8?
I saw someone say it was like 4-7. I'm like, I thought I saw 4-6.
Just like me.
And then some people were saying 4-5. I'm like, I'm so lost.
It's also
not fast.
A tenth of a second. That's making
yeah.
That
Hang
makes
on.
A difference.
You said not fast. That is fast.
Not super fast.
4-8 is fast.
Text here.
Some of us here can run a
4-8. NFL cornerback fast.
Yeah.
Well, could be NFL safety fast too,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
He's an NFL player who's in his early 20s, and I don't know, there is one person in this room who's 35 and can run a 4-8.
Joe can run a 4-8.
Interesting.
20?
With those legs.
4-8-20. Loperfido and Big John here from the text line.
Yeah, John Singleton.
Yep.
As I said yesterday, carrying your offense. Probably not ideal, but he's doing his best. He's doing his best.
Junior Bronco points out here on the Twitch. I think he's just trying to say that the Rangers aren't running away with it. Yeah,
that's true.
They're 20-16. Like the Mariners are 19-16, even though they just took two out of three from you. like you, you're not totally out of it because of the what they're doing.
The Mariners
need to start winning games. Though.
They do need to start winning games.
They do.
You can't be 10 games under 500 and be talking about how no one's run away at the division. To me, it's more actually show a stretch where you play good baseball for more than 5 games.
Five games was an improvement, though.
That was an improvement, but I'm asking for another. Let's stack that improvement. Much like how I want Lance McCullers to throw from 10 to 12 pitches to then 20 to 24 pitches and then 30 to 36 pitches. Like, much like we're asking for that improvement, can we get like 10 good games now?
Hey.
Please?
Baby steps. Let's go for 7 games.
Can we go 6-4 in the last 10? Can we get that graphic on the standings page, please?
Yeah, that's a good call. That would make me feel better if it's at 6-4 in the last 10. I agree with you. Which they're still, you know, they could do.
It's still on the table,
It's still on the table. You just have to win the next, like, 5, I think it is. No, the next 4, something like that. Like, you'll be okay. I mean, they're 6-3 in their last 9?
See? There it is.
Like,
that's the spin.
No, 5-3 in their last 8.
5-3 in their last 8.
That's
Joe Math, as always.
That's less good, but still good.
Yeah. But, like, you know, you can get 6-4 in your last 10.
Yeah. At the very least, well, no. They'll still be one game. If they get swept, they'll be one game under 500. I was going to say, there's no way in the last 10 games you will hurt your record because they will at least finish above 500. But no, they won't.
Anything else? Anything else that's making you feel optimistic?
Kyle Tucker's 10 for 30 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah. That's also very good. Mauricio Dubon's still awesome with runners in scoring position.
We haven't seen the Space City uniforms in a while. That's been nice.
Yeah, next Monday?
Is that when they're wearing them?
Well, they wear them at home on Monday, so. Oh. Whenever their next home Monday.
I thought they were like, yeah, these are ass.
Yeah, they won't wear them until next Monday when they play the Oakland A's. So.
There's something extra bad about being bad in those uniforms. Like, being a good team in those uniforms, you're like, okay, fine, whatever. I get it. But, yeah, being like, here's the City Connect uniforms as the Astros look to go from 5th to 4th place in the AL West.
Yeah, and they all kind of look the same now. You see the Tigers ones that came out, the Motor City?
Oh, I have not seen the Tigers.
They're okay. I mean, they're black and blue, like black and blue, and there's a... Like, it looks like tire tracks on
Detroit.
Them.
They love the black pants. They love the black pants with a colored top or dark blue pants with a white top. Like, they like mismatching the...
Yeah.
At least the Astros, it's a color rush, but I just don't love the color.
It's better than the Red Sox ones. I saw those the yellow jerseys they were wearing the other day.
Oh, wow. Joe just trivializing jerseys that, you know... memorialize people getting murdered at the Boston Marathon. But
yes, is that really why they're there?
Yes.
Yes, Joe.
Christ.
That is callous. That is out of line.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't know that. I apologize. I'll walk that one back.
This is our belief in city, Joe.
Oh man, that's bad.
All the ones to take a flagrant drive-by at, you couldn't have done the skateboarding Tampa Bay Ray. Nope.
Oh,
you did one to memorialize a national tragedy.
I didn't know that's what it was for. I just thought they were yellow. I thought it was like the
Boston Marathon colors. Yeah,
I thought it was just like their city flag colors or something like that.
Nope, that's just the Boston Marathon.
Damn.
Nope.
Boston Marathon colors.
Oh,
you know that the Boston Marathon, which takes place on a New England holiday called Patriots Day.
Twitch is trying to ban me. Probably.
Honestly, you should be banned for that.
That was bordering on hate speech.
That's my people.
In case you missed it.
That was they found the guy a town over from where my dad was at the time. I was concerned. I was calling him all night. I was like, watch out.
I'm sorry to hear that, Paul. I don't really know what to say next.
I just like making you uncomfortable. I don't really care that much, but
it was
a funny mistake to me.
It was a very
I don't want to make you feel bad.
No, I'm laughing.
But I do. Shot at any other team
I'm laughing because it's like I'm just like Jesus. Like look something up.
hey.
You could have said the Mariners one.
Yeah.
You could have.
There's like 30 jerseys to choose from. Mm-hmm. I chose the one jersey.
The Phillies one that looks like an energy drink.
Yeah.
Like, you could have said that one.
The Rangers one, which looks like a...
Yeah, we've talked. Those jerseys
couldn't figure
really
it
suck.
Out between, were we going old school or are we trying to Woo! Pretend that we're a 90s rap group?
All right, well, let's see what else we got offended by. These people are asking me what I got offended by during the Tom Brady roast.
That's true. Joe, very very quickly triggered.
There was only one thing. It was the Ron Burgundy section. I skipped it when I watched most of it last night. I skipped around, but I did see a small clip of it, and it was so bad.
Why did they bring Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy to roast Tom Brady? Well,
why are we dusting off a 20-year-old movie character?
Especially when the sequel to that movie was not good. I've only fallen asleep in a handful of movies, and Anchorman 2 is one of those movies.
It's not good. I think I watched the first 30 minutes of it.
I saw it in theaters.
As well.
It was not good.
I fell asleep in theaters, Sean. Doesn't happen. That's only happened once. Other than that, and it was Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and that's because I was hammered.
Okay,
I was going to say,
absolutely hammered.
Like, that movie's awesome.
There has to be a substance-aided sleep.
Anchorman 2, there was nothing.
A good old-fashioned way?
That was just a good old-fashioned, I guess I was tired, and outski.
Tuckered out.
Yep. All right. What else did we see from the roast that stood out to us? We'll do, in case you missed it. Plus, we have other things to talk about as well. We'll do that next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry. I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Joe Spada says Christian Javier will start this weekend in Detroit. So Christian Javier back in a big way. We'll
Hooray!
Alex Bregman has a new item with Bun B. The Trail Smash Taco.
I saw this tweeted by Will Kunkel of Fox 26. Will, we could have done without the drooling emojis. A little bit jarring to see that. But yes, Joe, not Lance McCullers. I'm thinking about off the field so much. I'm thinking about Lance McCullers.
You're thinking Maven Coffee and Cocktail.
Right. Yeah, that's his venture. Yeah.
Maybe he can open up a coffee shop downstairs since our coffee shop closed.
Maybe. Alex Bregman has introduced the Trill Smash Taco to Bun B's Trill Burgers. It was available on Cinco de Mayo and featured Alex Bregman's salsa. I have still yet to go to Trill Burgers.
I haven't yet either. I'll probably have it first at NRG before I have it actually there, I would guess.
I feel like you got to go to the original place. I am getting my hair cut on Wednesday, and it's right by where I get my hair cut.
Well, then you should do it Wednesday.
True, but I have date night with the boys. We're having a Chili's Boys reunion.
Okay.
My friends and I have a group chat, and it's called the Chili's Boys.
Okay.
And we haven't met as a group in probably 4 years with all of us, maybe even longer than that. Yeah, we got someone coming back from Asia for it. It's a big day.
Time on. He's flying in from Asia to go to Chili's?
He was on the same plane as CJ Stroud, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So is
CJ going to Chili's?
We'll find out.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
Hasn't texted back.
He hasn't texted me back. No, CJ hasn't. I also don't have CJ's number.
Hey, congrats to Jalen Green. Jalen Green had a baby in February. I didn't realize that.
Because that
was around the same time we found out that Drea Michelle, this model, Instagram model, was pregnant. But Jalen Green did have another baby. But apparently there's no beef, no bad blood between the baby mamas.
That's good.
It's key to have no bad blood between your baby mamas if you want things to be less awkward.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who is the byproduct of a divorce. No baby mamas, luckily, in the Gallant clan world. But it's nice when the people that have been with a man or a woman, you know, their ex-partners can get along with the current partner.
Yeah.
No this, baby mama drama.
Are these... And we're talking, of course, about someone Jalen Green is with now, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't two of Jalen Green's ex-babe, like,
no, it sounds like he's with Drea.
Okay. They're both his baby mamas, but one of them is his...
Current girlfriend.
And one of them is his... We don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Flowchart.
Yes. We don't know the exact nature of the relationship, but... We have an idea because
we know part of
she had a kid. We know. We have an idea.
Unless you need me to explain that to you.
I actually would. As a as a single man,
this
as
is
a non-married
man.
Joe, you know what? A lot of people are going to be shocked to hear this. I have never had sex in my life.
Yeah,
there's
never.
No proof of it. There's no proof. I have never
you
had
know what,
sex.
You know what, Paul?
I am amazed.
I'm really glad there's no proof.
There's,
that's all I know.
I am a maid. I have never had children, and thus I have never had
sex.
You
don't want to be like the first, like Barrett Sports Media. Sports radio star Paul Gallant launches OnlyFans.
I thought you were going to say Barrett Sports Media. Houston radio host Paul Gallant loses virginity.
It would be a great way to build the brand if I just try to do what pop stars used to do in the early 2000s,
yeah.
Right?
Just drop a sex tape.
No, not drop a sex tape. No, I'm talking about the complete opposite. If I just make claims that I've never had sex in my life and I'm waiting for the right person.
Yeah.
I'm not going that way in your heathen mode, Joe.
I mean,
he's taking the Lord's name in vain the last segment.
Kim Kardashian is the most famous person on the planet because of it.
I have not once in my life had the relations, and I want everybody to praise me for that, okay?
The AC Green of radio.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know, Joe, what happens. You have to explain it to me. You are confirmed father of one.
Patrick Beverly not banned by ESPN.
Not even explaining how it happens. Okay, fine, Joe. I guess I'll just stay this way forever.
You'll have to go another 35 years without knowing.
Yeah. Maybe when we get you on the Golden Bachelor. That's
the Golden Bachelor?
That's when, like...
What if that was when I...
Oh, my God.
It's all a build-up to age 7, the 70-year-old virgin. We're going to use... There's going to be an endorsement for one of those deep steel blue pills. I've got the deepest steel blue balls ever. I haven't done anything in 80 years. Get me a walker.
You know what? Speaking of babies, do we have the Gilbert Arenas audio?
We sure do.
So obviously the NBA playoffs are going on right now. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a couple segments here, but... Rudy Gobert, nowhere to be found because his wife had a baby. Congratulations.
How did that happen, Joe? Just to stay on topic.
They boinked.
What does that even mean?
A stork came by.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
In the first round of the playoffs.
That's how it worked in the Dumbo movie, so I agree.
Good
reference. That must be how it works. That movie has not aged well. Anyway.
No, it really has not.
I will say... I know a lot of people are mad at Gilbert Arenas for that hot take that he had, and we have time for it later in the show because I know this is one of those rapid-fire segments, but I do think you should, at the very least, if you're planning to have a kid, try your best as an athlete to time it out.
He did. He got traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. He didn't think he was going to be in the playoffs.
The second round. That's like the second round.
Touché.
This isn't Scottie Scheffler, whose wife was like 8.5 months pregnant while he's winning the Masters. That's bad timing.
And I will say, yes, you should time it, but accidents happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
But with golf, you can miss the Masters. You can miss the Masters.
Yeah.
Especially, he's already won the match.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, he could have missed it, where in this situation, I don't know, you can time it better. I'm not like some people who are going to come out with the pitchforks and torches for him. And clearly the Timberwolves didn't need him last night. They won by like 40 points.
It helped that they already won game one and then blew him out in game two, where it's like, oh, all
honestly,
right.
You don't even need it. You might not even need him back.
Can't be that mad at him.
All right, Patrick Beverley, not banned by ESPN. Erroneous report.
Right, that report came out because of Beverley's treatment of that reporter that he had been banned from ESPN. That's from Front Office Sports.
Yeah.
ESPN felt the need to put out a press release to say no. And that's because it's hard to find people to fill in for First Takes during those long summer months. I volunteer again. I know they're going to bring in Ryan Hollins and some other people. I'm volunteering again. I don't see color, but perhaps I'm too white for them. It might not work on camera, but I'm volunteering for First Take again. But clearly they want to give Patrick Beverley another little run this summer.
Deion Sanders, he defended his recent social media attacks on a former player because he said, quote, "I was bored."
That's why everyone does anything on social media.
He should have done this, try to get a Snickers deal, be like, just hungry.
He should
I was hangry.
He should do a social media cleanse like me. Just get off. Just delete the Instagram off your phone. Delete the TikTok off your phone. I'm debating deleting Twitter off my phone. I came close to last night. Now that I'm looking at tweets, I'll see replies to tweets, and I'm curious about the replies to the tweets. Mm-hmm. And the replies to the tweets have nothing to do with the tweets. They're like they're just completely different ones. Then there'll be an ad every third tweet. It's terrible now.
Yeah. Elon.
It's really bad.
He kind of butchered.
And I'm kind of glad, because I do think that as a industry, sports media cares way too much about something that only 10% of listeners are on. Maybe it's more than that, but it's a terrible app. I'm debating getting rid of it altogether.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's not good. And the user experience has been awful on it, like you said. It's not good anymore. So the roast. From what I watched, it was pretty good. I skipped around. I saw the clip of the Ron Burgundy. It wasn't for me, so when I actually sat down to watch it, I just skipped over it. I skipped over Kim Kardashian because it wasn't necessary. Like, everyone said she got booed.
She did well, considering she was getting booed. But, that was kind of BS. I mean, there's supposed to be some etiquette at comedy shows and at roasts. Like, let her talk, for God's sake. I thought she actually held her own, considering she was getting booed and heckled throughout her entire little set.
I thought it was really good, though. Julian Edelman.
Yes, it was.
Edelman crushed it.
It was. I was pleasantly surprised by just about everyone. Belichick, Peyton Manning.
I think the Edelman joke to Belichick about not having a job was kind of my favorite.
Oh, it was great. It was great. And I thought Brady at the very end. Brady's going to be a good broadcaster, guys. He's going to be a really good broadcaster. The delivery that he had up there, I know that he's reading off of a script and everything, and we're wondering what's he going to be able to do on the fly, but I think he's going to crush it as a broadcaster. He's like, Colin Cowherd even said he's literally in the lab right now, like practicing doing color commentary.
I think he's going to be, you know, everyone, they were worried like Tom Brady wasn't going to want to offend people.
He made a 9/11 joke.
Yeah. If anything, the roast showed that, like, when he's in the booth, and if your quarterback does something stupid, he's going to eviscerate him.
Zach Wilson's like, thank God I'm not a starting quarterback anymore.
But he's
it was bad enough when Peyton Manning was, like, rolling his eyes every time I drop back on the Manning cast.
St. Patrick here says Tony Hinchcliffe or whatever it is from
Hinchcliffe
Tony.
Crushed it.
Dude, he's vicious. The Bert Kreischer joke was so funny.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah, as someone who has seen enough Bert Kreischer, yes.
Bert is very in your face.
He seems like he would be fun to party with, but the comedy on that side is not for me. Tony has been a revelation for me over the last month. I have not ever seen Kill Tony until a month ago. It is just like watching a car crash, but it's funny. And he is so deadpan and so vicious. It's cool to see somebody else come out of these roasts and really, I think, steal the show. Nikki Glaser was great, too. But
yeah.
I remember when, back in the day, they were doing roasts. Anthony Jeselnik was so effing good at roasts. He was so good. And you don't see him really do that anymore. He's got a specific style that just, I think, makes for very good roast. But Hinchcliffe just walking through and roasting every single person on stage over a period of 2 minutes with vicious line after vicious line. That was really good.
Yeah, there's such a good run. I'm looking at just this list from Comedy Central. when they were doing the roast every, like, every couple months, every year. There's so many good ones. I wonder, I hope this doesn't just bring them back in a big way. Like,
you hope it doesn't?
I think they need to spread them out more. Like, you need to pick and choose who
one a year. With. One a year is good, but I mean, clearly, I guess Jeff Ross was in charge of the organization of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Ross, I thought, did a really good job with that. And then, you know, I would like to see more of this. I thought it was really well done from start to finish. I think everybody who participated did a pretty good job, except for Ben Affleck.
Yeah, he was not good either.
But there
Ben Affleck, like, what's going on, dude?
There is a balance between, like, doing more of these and then where you do too much.
Yes.
Too many of them. And so, yeah, stay selective. But, yeah, if they want to do this once or even twice a year, like,
because
this was part of, like, the Netflix comedy thing that they had this weekend. And it's like, okay, if you want to do one then and then one, like, in November, cool, we'll take that. But, yeah, we can't have a roast, like, every month because they're just going to start stinking.
And the subject, like, the subject, it matters who they
are. Be selective with who you pick.
Yeah, I don't need to be seeing C-list celebrities up there doing it. So you got to find the right people that have enough backstory, like Brady. There was so much to roast, and everyone got so – the one difference between now – versus back then when Comedy Central was doing it is now we have all these TMZ reports about, like, Aaron Hernandez's fiance and Giselle.
They weren't happy.
And all these people who are unhappy, and I just don't care.
It's a roast.
I don't care.
I mean, people were mad about...
Don't get divorced.
Tom Brady's 9/11 joke.
Right.
Don't get divorced. If you don't want to be brought up on a roast, like,
don't get divorced.
The irony as well, too, with some of the things that were brought up in this. It's like, this is the point of it. And by the way, like, people were calling for Brady to apologize for the 9/11 joke. Brady has apologized for jokes, for a reference that he made. It wasn't that long ago where I think he compared playing in the NFL to, like, Battleground.
Oh,
and he felt the need
to
apologize for that afterwards.
No, this is what we need. We need stuff like this so people have to stop apologizing.
Roasts are supposed to be vicious and mean, and that's why they are funny. If you're watching them thinking that you're going to get something coming out of them that is, you know, like, thoughtful or a statement about something going forward, you're nuts. Specifically, I would point to, you know, something... God damn it, I said a brain fart.
Here, how about this? Do you think they asked Giselle to be on the roast? Do you think at some point someone from Netflix was like, Giselle, do you want to take
probably.
The mic?
It's probably too soon.
Or do they run it past Brady
you
first?
You probably have to go to Tom first. Because I was reading today where it seems like, I guess Nikki Glaser was on Howard Stern. She said basically the only thing they were told that was off limits were, like, his kids. And there were still jokes about his kids, but, like direct... Like, I don't think did
he made Kraft off limits with that moment, which no one is 100% sure if it was real.
It seems scripted.
Jeff Ross said it made it sound like it was scripted. Nikki Glaser did not think it was scripted. Drew Bledsoe did not think it was scripted.
Yeah, but, like, I think no one made a joke about him, like, the weird kiss on the mouth stuff.
Well, that was with the kids, right?
Yeah. So they left that, which, like, I think that's fair. Like, you do a roast, probably the one thing you leave off the table, unless it's like Nick Cannon is like the kids. Because Nick Cannon has 100 of them.
Well, even then, the joke would be on Nick Cannon,
yeah,
it's not about the kids themselves.
Kids.
Yeah, unless you have a kid who's also, like, a celebrity. You know? Like, if it was the roast of Kris Jenner, and then you roast the other Kardashian, like, that's fine. They're celebrities. They're in their, like, 40s now.
The Twitch here is suggesting Joe Rogan. That's the best thing you guys have ever suggested. The roast of Joe Rogan would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty fun. The real question is, who could they get on that would be on a celebrity level like some of the people that they had for the roast of Tom Brady? Obviously, a lot of those guys were Patriots, so maybe to me, they're a little bit of a bigger profile guy.
I mean, Joe Rogan has the biggest personalities on planet Earth on his podcast.
I'm curious as to who could they get on that would actually agree to go on Joe Rogan's roast without believing that they are, I guess, debasing themselves by giving them a platform or being a part of their platform.
Or it's also like there's just going to be like 25 different comedians on it. And I guess what I'm thinking, I think, Paul, you're also – it's like There also needs to be star power beyond just like
AOC.
Comedians. Or just like popular comedians. Like where it's just like, it's Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura and Tony Hinchcliffe. It's like, yeah, we've seen these guys on this roast already. Like, you can't have a roster of the top 30 comedians. You need other people. That's what makes it fun to sing. Other people that aren't comedians get up and roast.
If you had more famous people, though, than the comedians, I think that's a big deal. You want to have the comedians because the comedians are the best part of it.
That's what makes it run.
But no, if you could say if you could get both Biden and Trump on this.
Like, I think you would get Trump. Like, you would see, like, The Undertaker would be on there because he goes on Joe Rogan's podcast all the time.
Okay, but I mean, again, I'm talking about if you're doing this right, you are getting both of them on, and it is a great moment where we're all laughing, and for once, we're all not at each other's throat. Yeah, that is how you do it.
Can't wait to see Joe Biden try to read off a place card to make jokes about Joe Rogan.
Can't wait for Trump to go off script and go on long tangents.
Also, the thing with Donald Trump is he already had a Comedy Central roast.
He knows how it works.
He did.
And what was it?
It's very funny.
You couldn't make fun of like how much money he has or something.
Yeah.
It was like something where you couldn't make jokes that he actually wasn't rich.
I think Seth MacFarlane
was like the only thing that was off limits.
I think Seth MacFarlane hosted that one, which is very funny to think about where we're at now. A roast of a current president would be funny. Like if Trump got reelected to do another one. That would be very funny.
White House correspondence dinner?
Yeah.
Kind of, but...
like that's just point. They already have that.
What about Portnoy? Is he big enough?
I don't think so. Not quite.
It's a little too, like... That would
too
be
niche?
Like, yeah, it would be like an internet thing.
That would be like a Barstool presentation.
Yeah.
If it were to be him.
Because Tom Brady's, like, actually famous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a difference between being famous on the internet and having a lot of followers.
Swift. The roast of Taylor Swift.
That never happened.
Text line here suggests
because
Charles Barkley.
The militant youth of Taylor Swift who would burn people's houses down if she was dare even second guess.
And every joke's going to be the same.
Yeah.
By your ex-boyfriends.
Yeah, but there's so many that they would all be so good.
That's good. That's true. It's a counter.
I don't know. It would just be the same joke over. And I also think people wouldn't cross the lines as much with Taylor Swift.
They should, though. They should. But they crossed the lines with Tom Brady. She is more famous than Tom Brady.
But Tom Brady is a professional athlete with teammates and friends that are busting his balls. I don't think Demi Lovato or whoever Taylor Swift's friends are is going to tell a 9/11 joke.
Good point.
It would be awesome.
Like, that's the thing. It would be.
I mean,
if people weren't who they were, it would be fun.
The rebuttal at the end by Swift, I actually would expect big things because I think she's a performer. I think she knows how to work in situations like that. But that's what we're looking for. It's got to be someone of the next one. If you want it the way that you want it, Joe, where you want these to be rather scarce.
Yeah.
You got to go north of Tom Brady.
That's so hard.
I agree.
What about Barkley?
Barkley would be a great one.
Yeah, the text Barkley would be
a great. Barkley would be a great because you also need a subject that can like give and take
exactly,
well. And that's basically what they do every
Barkley
night
would
on
be
TNT.
Really
that's
good.
That's perfect.
Yeah, Barkley.
I think
would be
that's the one. But the other thing is though, I mean, if we stay in the sports world exclusively, I don't know. You're missing out on some other ones, and that's. I'm trying to think who else right now. Is kind of relevant on the same level or close to the same level of Taylor.
The roast of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
That would be easy.
They should have done this story in like the peak of Marvel. Awesome. And you could have done like Robert Downey Jr. Like that, like when like Iron Man was so hot and like there was Endgame and all that stuff coming out. That would have been the best time to do Robert Downey Jr. But they kind of missed the boat on that one. So I don't know. We'll see. All right. When we get back, where we're talking. Oh, the NBA playoffs. I think we have a new face of the NBA, and it was an impressive performance from the Timberwolves last night, and a weird game between the Knicks and the Pacers at the ending as well. We'll get to the next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.